I think you need to unmute yourself.
Okay, there we go. That better?
That's better.
Okay, hi everybody. My name is Judy. I live in Georgetown, Texas. It's so exciting to hear so many different languages in the Serenity Prayer. It just gives me goosebumps. I get goosey all over. I've adapted this presentation today to a group KBDM. So it's going to be a little different. But just hang on. Hopefully, we'll get everything answered for you. If you have a question, Yvonne's going to monitor the hands, and we'll probably have a time where we can stop and answer questions. I'll try to remember to do that every so often.
Hold on, Judy. There's one thing. If
Yeah.
you have speaker view, you will see a black screen with Judy on it. Judy has her sound not on her computer. So you have to go to the grid in order to see Judy. Because speaker view, you will only see a black screen. All right, Judy, go ahead.
That's okay. Today we're going to be talking about knowledge-based decision making with a little bit of a twist. And I know we have some English second language people here, so if I go too fast, I'll try to remember to slow down. I have a tendency to start talking fast, and if you could raise your hand or get Yvonne's attention, I'd appreciate it. KBDM adds another dimension to what we usually think and what we know about decision making. It gives us a process to look at a little deeper, to search for other possibilities, and to lead us to bigger thinking. The purpose of this presentation is to in response to your requests, to learn about KBDM and a decision-making process. I will connect KBDM with our recovery principles and beliefs, and to hopefully have an understanding of how we can use KBDM to make decisions within our groups. I'll be talking about using KBDM in our groups during this first session. During the follow-up session today, I'll share my experience with using a modified KBDM to make a personal life-changing decision for myself. Before I go any further, I need to say that not everything leads to this process. I'm thinking of perhaps group budget, acceptance of reports, things that can be readily answered with a yes or no. When we started this, a lot of people thought we have to use KBDM for everything. Some things it just doesn't apply. And you kind of get that feeling as we go along when you try it in your structure. Those of you that have used KBDM at the World Service Conference or at your area assembly are going to think, "This is not what I learned." Just hang with us. What you know will not hinder you. These ideas will hopefully broaden your options with perhaps a little less frustration. We learn in Al-Anon to be flexible and to open up other possibilities. Where did this all come from? When I served on the Board of Trustees, we started talking about KBDM process. We bought the book, which is not conference approved, and we learned as we navigated ourselves through some tough decisions. We used it for very complex, multifaceted ideas and decisions. The World Service Conference members expressed a desire to know more about this process. And so the board introduced it to the 2005-2006 World Service Conference. It was a change. We talk a lot about change in our recovery. We ask for courage to change, and yet I find we are often resistant to change. I love what Mark Twain said about change. I'm all for progress. It's change I have trouble with. After the process of KBDM was introduced to the World Service Conference delegates, many of the delegates introduced KBDM to their assemblies. It was met with varying degrees of acceptance, and in some areas, not at all. Shortly after it was introduced at the International Al-Anon General Service Meeting, the IAGSM, I saw somebody on here that was there. Today, it is used in varying degrees at most area assemblies and some districts. There has been a lot of interest in using the process for our groups and even for our personal lives. There is a reference to the KBDM process in our service manual and our groups at work, which is one of the four booklets that are bound as a service manual. I have also referenced how Al-Anon works. And paths to recovery. My copies of these two books I mentioned are the original versions, so page numbers may be off from what you have. The service manual can be purchased for $5 plus postage. It is available in English, Spanish, and French. The groups at work is available for $1, that's US, plus postage. These can also be purchased as a case of 150 for $135. We use these in my group so everyone has a copy of the meeting format, the opening, the steps, the traditions, as well as the section about WSO committees and KBDM. And that's listed on page 70 to 72. Let's start with a little grouping of terms that we have an understanding of consistency in the use of these terms for the purpose of this presentation. I travel around a lot and have found that there is confusion with these three terms. Usually when we're at meetings, other than English speaking, and even more so with newcomers. Members talk using our special Al-Anon language. Some groups will announce they are going to have a business meeting, while others will say we are having a group conscious meeting. And then there are those that say we will have a business meeting to get a group conscience. No wonder newcomers are confused. Our service manual and groups at work on page 49 gives this information. Group business meetings are held to share information and to include all group members in the activities and concerns of the group. Decisions a group makes are a group conscience. It is okay to call these meetings a group conscience meeting or a business meeting. With using KBDM, we like to call the group conscience an informed group conscience. In the service manual and groups at work, there's a whole section on group business starting on page 48. A group conscience is Al-Anon's way of making decisions for our groups, home groups, district, assembly, our Al-Anon information services, or any service body. It is the way we allow the higher power into our deliberations by listening to everyone's viewpoint. We are all equal when it comes to participating in our decision-making process. Many times I have been in a business meeting, an assembly, or even the World Service Conference, and we have stopped to say the Serenity Prayer after the discussion and before the vote has taken. The importance of an informed loop conscious and sharing the four elements in red will keep our discussions on the information rather than the bunch of opinions. In the service manual, it says, in order to make an informed group conscious decision, members need access to all the information about the issue they are being asked to discuss. They need clarity on what the discussion hopes to accomplish, and they are asked to trust each other's motives and capabilities. By sharing information as equals, taking time for discussion, and maintaining principles above personalities during the discussions, groups are often able to reach unanimity in their decisions. Does anybody understand the unanimity? Anybody? Okay. The things that I highlighted in red reflect the KBDM elements that contribute to the informed group conscience. And I'll go more into these further on. But you'll notice it's everybody needs access. They need clarity. We ask people to trust one another. We share our information. We take time for discussion. And we have that phrase that we love so much, principles above personalities. A thought force may be lay foundation for a task and may make recommendations, but they do not complete the task. That's the wrong page. Let me see where I am here. Okay, this is some more terms that I want you to be familiar with. This is a work group. That's a permanent body, not necessarily permanent. It's like a committee. There's a thought force, which is a temporary unit of people established to work on a single defined task or activity or appointed by the original body. The originating body, in this case, we're going to talk about as a group. It uses available resources such as the members of the task force themselves, but they are not limited to themselves. Their objective is to complete the task and present it to the originating body to move it forward. And sometimes we call them the doers. None of these groups is a decision-making body, but they make recommendations. These are defined in the service manual also. I find it helps to be able to go back to the service manual again. Okay, the advantages of KBDM. Getting into the KBDM understanding, let us look at the advantages of using this process. So here are some reasons why we have found the decision-making process works best for us. Note, no motion is needed on the floor to start this discussion. This is the big change. Usually when we meet to take a vote, we usually have to have a motion on the floor. The motion is crafted after the discussion and this placing the value on what is the motion rather than the words, the punctuation, and so forth. The topic is introduced with a brief introduction of framing to introduce the discussion. No opinion is offered. It allows through a thorough examination of issues without an end or an action in mind. The discussion may include what is often considered a minority opinion, someone that thinks differently. You do not have to pick sides, no yes or no decision, and has to be made. It also avoids a for or against discussion. Because everyone is involved in the decision-making, we allow the decision to be more important than the people making the motion or the decision. Principles above personalities. KBDM allows plenty of time to hear all sides. In fact, using the KBDM process takes a lot more time than discussion under Robert's rules. Discussions can run over into several meetings. I have been involved in several policy discussions at the World Service Conference that have taken 4 and 5 years. KBDM allows for what is decided to be more important than who made the motion or the decision. By using task force and thought forces, it involves more than one or two members to be involved in the process. This process does allow for a conversation. Often that is enough, and after some discussion and more is known, it has been found a motion may be unnecessary. KBDM has 4 basic elements.
Judy, before you move on.
Yes.
Does anybody have any questions? You can either put it in the chat, it'll come to me, or raise your blue electronic hand, not your hand on the screen, but if you do, somebody will catch you, your blue hand, then we'll address them. And there's no stupid questions, there's just questions, by the way. Just in case you think you're going to be the only one. I bet you you're not. I don't see any hands, so I'm assuming you're all just totally up to speed and following.
Yeah, I saw one, yeah. Mary.
Yes. Mary, can you there you go.
Hi, is there a way we can get a copy of these presentation? I'm taking down notes, but...
Yes. We've said this before. This will be made available with the talk and the whole workshop in a PDF format on the website, and we will post that in there. KBDM stands for Knowledge-Based Decision Making. Andy, thank you for asking. It is a decision-making process. If you want to know more, so you can take your own notes, but this will all be made available. Only the PowerPoint. And then you can listen to the whole workshop for free on the recording sites. Does that answer your question, Mary? Yes, you already muted yourself. Great.
I'll include the notes in the slides too.
Okay.
If they don't check Kelly and my punctuation.
Yeah. Okay. So the notes will be with the slides.
And,
okay. All right. Hold on, Lori. There's Lori. Right. Lori, go unmute yourself. Thank you.
Yeah, hi. I'm just wondering if Judy will be covering how best to present this to your group so that they understand and might agree to this.
I'm hesitating here because when the delegates took it back to their areas. That I spoke of earlier, it was very interesting. I think a lot of times it's how it's presented. And I think once you get the PowerPoint, if you put yourself a little talk together and talk about the KBDM basic elements and why we do this and why it's different than Robert's Rules, and that was earlier in the presentation, I think that will help you to show them that it's better suited for Al-Anon because it gives everybody a chance and to be heard and to involve more people in the decision making. What I can do is I can write up a little sort of a little summary for people to take to their groups if that's what you'd like. Just think about it. And I can include the points, and that might help because I know some groups are kind of hesitant, and some people don't like business meetings first at all. But think about that while we're doing this too. If you'd like to have a little what we used to call executive summary, that might be good for you to take.
And if it's on Zoom and you would like to invite Judy, just send us an email at awbroundup@gmail.com, and we can give you all that information.
Yeah.
Good. All right. Thank you.
All right. I see another hand down there from Arizona, Laurie B.
Go ahead, Laurie.
No, I just asked that question, and I'm going to speak for myself, but I will say, yes, please include an executive summary. Okay. I'm guessing other people would like it as well.
All right.
Thank you, Judy.
Let me hear.
And if you're familiar with your delegate or your chair, go talk to them if they're familiar with the process, if they would like to do it. I know the World Service Conference uses it all the time. Just because it's not being talked about in your area necessarily doesn't mean that there is not people that have the knowledge. Thank you.
And you have a lot of resources in Arizona, Laurie. Mm-hmm. We can talk offline.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to the four basic elements of the knowledge-based decision-making, and I'm going to go into each one of these a little more after we just name them. Open communication between leadership and membership. All decision makers have common access to full information. Everyone involved with the decision gets all the information at the same time. Dialogue before deliberation. This element is the hardest to change in most bodies. Members are so used to having Robert's rules, where you have to have a motion on the floor in order to have the discussion. KBDM, there is no motion until after you have the discussion. We exist in a culture of trust and have confidence in the competence of our partners. This is where the phrase that you've probably heard, presume goodwill, within our community comes from originally. Think about how each of these elements could work in your group and or relationships. Gosh, even in my personal recovery, I've used this. Okay, let's talk about these a little bit more depth. Open communication between leadership and membership. In the knowledge-based approach, the more members know, the more insight and understanding they have on an issue. When the leadership shares what it knows and invites others to do the same, we reach better solutions. Sometimes someone having information that someone else does not have creates a power struggle, or we simply make stuff up. When everyone has the same information, everyone is able to contribute. That is our principle of equality. The second one, all decision makers will have common access to full information. It does take time. Being informed and having clarity takes time. We need to allow ourselves the time it takes to share information and have a conversation. The vote isn't worthwhile if it is rushed. This is often the step that takes so long because information has to be ready and sent out to everyone participating so that everyone can look through the information before the gathering. I know some of you that have groups that are going to be confused here and wonder how you're going to do this. Sometimes we have to change what we do to get the same results for the KBDM. So what typically has to happen is after you get the information gathered, you have to space your meetings out. But today it's really so much greater. We can send things out on email. My two groups here in Georgetown, we've been using email more and more since this pandemic that we've had, and we've been locked up. Before that, people were a little hesitant to share things, but we've become more open, and technology is getting to be more the norm now instead of the exception. The third element is dialogue before deliberation. In parliamentary procedure, sometimes the motion itself becomes the issue, and everyone tries to wordsmith. That means change the words to make them right, or modify it or add punctuation to it, and all the energy is diverted into the motion rather than the topic. Mm-hmm. I'm sure many of you have experienced this somewhere. I'm going to take a little more time to talk about this because this is really one of the biggest changes. Sometimes when someone brings a motion, no one knows why it's being brought or how it fits into the meeting. And because it is the form of a motion, a pro and con debate begins before anyone has the chance to have an informed discussion. Opinions often take the place of real information. Suddenly, a vote has been taken and people are still trying to figure out what it's all about. Often people vote because the vote is being taken and they really don't understand the whole thing. I think that's why a lot of people vote abstain, because they don't understand what they're voting on. At our KBDM discussions, we talk and talk and talk. And sometimes if there is agreement that something should come of the discussion, a thought force or a task force is formed to move the topic to the next level. So when the process is complete and finally a motion comes forth, there is little need to debate the wording or the punctuation. The motion reflects the past discussion. Sometimes there is no need for a motion at all. All everyone needed was to air the topic and have their say. Are there any questions about this? Let's take questions on this because this is usually one of the big sticking points. If anybody needs to know something more about this.
Jamie.
Am I unmuted?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Hey, Judy, this is great. I'm loving it. But I wanted to go back to the group business meeting using KBDM. I was a little distracted when you were talking about that. And a group of women here in Southern California, a district actually, put together some points about how to do that for a meeting. And with your permission, I'd like to email that to you, and maybe you can take a look at it and wordsmith that or not use it, but there might be some relevant things that you would want to share with this group later when you share the other.
Great.
Do you want me to email that to you?
Yes, would you?
Yeah, it's
I was going to ask you if you'd do that, because I briefly looked at it yesterday, but I'd like to go through it to make it sure it's consistent with what we've got here.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll send that all to you again. Okay. Thank you, Judy.
That will have, we'll post that on after two. Is that okay, Yvonne?
Yeah, that's fine. Just send it to me.
Great.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Could you mute yourself? Yes. Yeah, thank you. It's already done. MMW? There you go.
Hi, thanks. I'm curious. Having an open discussion is wonderful, and having people come, with principles over personalities and all the traditions. But my question is, what if when people are emotionally involved and there becomes defensiveness or reactions, how do you keep on track with what the topic is and just help everybody to really be present to the discussion?
Well, first of all, you're no different. I think we all get emotionally involved in some of these discussions. I'm going to talk a little bit about this further on down, but there's a great package that is out, and a lot of people haven't heard about it. It's a conflict resolution package. But in that package, it has a guide on how to set up a meeting. And in that it talks about we have agreements, we don't shout each other down, we treat each other with respect, and a few other things. I can't recall off the top of my head everything that's in it, but that might be something that you can use too. I think you'll probably see when we go, we're going to do a little scenario shortly. And I think when we start on that, that you might see maybe how we can approach it with a little less emotion, hopefully. Just know you're not alone.
Okay.
I'll stay.
Thank you, Judy.
Sure. The fourth and the fifth one I've combined because when we started this, we used to talk about five elements. And I've noticed they've changed it to four, so I combined the two, and I think you'll see that most places they have. Trust comes hard to many of us. Living with alcoholism, we have learned not to trust. With recovery and service, we have the opportunity to learn confidence and trust in our trusted servants. We may not agree with them, but if we have elected our leaders based on their ability and competence rather than because they are our friend or it is their turn or because they have been around the longest, we can feel assured that they are doing their best to do what is best for Al-Anon. And when we can trust that, our higher power is overseeing our work and take care of our decisions. Knowing that we all are at different stages of recovery, we need to be gentle but honest with one another as we have our discussions. I sometimes believe that my inventory has been taken in service because the higher good is at stake. I have learned not to take it personally, but to learn from it and to trust in my colleagues. And that's a big change. When I first was on the board and I was elected the chairman of the board, my board sponsor told me, you're going to learn everything about yourself you never knew. And that was true. That came to be true. How does this all come together? So let's just say let's play a kind of little game for right now. Our meeting has met in the current location for over 10 years. We've been told we can no longer meet here after next month. What do we do? Where do we start? Frequently, the GR or a member gets the information and announces, the group is going to have to close because we are losing our meeting place, or I don't know where, but we got to move. And then all good Al-Anon fashion, there was either dead silence or chaos. And eventually we settle down. We know that if the information we gathered, thought about, and a discussion initiated, the decision-making process would look a lot different. So let's take a step back and let the GR do their job using the KBDM process. Here is how a GR would set this up. This is my suggestion, and you may find that you want to do it different, but this is just a starting point. This is what I call a plan of action, a POA. The idea that people need time to get information and think things through before a vote is the basic principle of an informed group conscience, and as I said, leads to better decisions and group unity. Just a comment here about using this process. I had a husband that needed time to think about things. I realized when I had an idea, I would be thinking it through, then I would tell him about it and ask what he thought. I was expecting him to agree or think it was a great idea most of the time. He would say no. When I started to learn more about leadership and this process, I realized he needed more information, more time, and to be brought into on my thinking. Including him on my thinking was not always possible, so what I realized was I needed to suggest he think about this and tell, and I tell him, I do not need an answer today. I give him all the information and whatever it was and say, we can talk more about it tomorrow or next week. After he had time to think things through, I could tell he always appreciated that time, and for the most part, he appreciated thinking he was being included by having time to think about it. And for most things, after I changed the way I approached him, the answer was yes. I find that this way many people, this is the way many people think. I have a friend that needs at least overnight before she's ready to discuss things. We all just do not think alike or put things together in the same way. So here's what we do with our plan of action. We schedule the meeting and announce at least 2 weeks before it's scheduled. Now, I don't know what's magic about 2 weeks, but it seems like every group I've been in, they always tell everybody, we're going to have a business meeting or a discussion or a group conscience meeting in 2 weeks. And I think it's because everybody doesn't come to every meeting. And so they hope with that most people will come to one of the two meetings. They assign a thought force and give them a written charge and the questions. A charge is basically a paragraph or two about what the work is to address. Again, without your opinion or your desired outcome. Hand the results of the information gathering by the thought force out to a week or so before the meeting. Plan the meeting, set the agenda. Conduct the meeting, appoint a task force if moving is to be pursued, and when they come back with more information, have a discussion of the topics, and finally a vote is taken if they are ready. They may need another meeting and hopefully they will have more time to discuss. If not, the vote needs to be taken then. Here's my little chart. Can you see my arrow up here? Okay. You can follow the arrow.
No arrow.
Oh, okay. We'll start on the upper left-hand corner, the originating group. This is where you...
There is an arrow, but it's really teeny tiny.
Okay. Can you see it moving?
Yeah.
Okay. The originating group is your group, and the information has come to the GR. This is the GR here with the light bulb over her head, his head, her head. She has an idea, and she's getting her things together. She's doing her plan of action. She has the meeting and she wants to pursue it. So it goes to the group. They have their discussion about not closing or not moving or whatever they might think they want to do or their options. And then they appoint a thought force. Remember now, the thought force is just a group of people that can answer some questions. And we're going to talk about these questions in a minute. This is a map of the process. We are all in the originating group. We are members, and this decision is going to affect us all. The GR sets up a plan of action. We have our situation. Let's just say we've all been assigned to the thought force. The thought force is given the KBDM questions to help guide their work. So I'm going to stop at this little block over here, and we'll go to the next slide. Here are the four KBDM questions. The first time you see them, I know your reaction will be, this is over the top, but bear with me. What I have done is highlighted the main purpose in red for each question. Discovering responses to each of the KBDM questions will form a common basis for information for everyone. Opinions should be backed up by experience or principle or knowledge so that the information is meaningful. I always try to stay away from opinions. Members may, and that may be part of your housekeeping rules that you set up ahead of time. We don't want opinions. We just want facts or findings. Members may disagree upon what question is the response goes under, as we may see things slightly different and some responses can fit in more than one place. Where it is recorded is less important than it is recorded. A Board of Trustees has done a little tweaking of this process, and they have taken what used to be the 5 questions, which is what do we wish we knew but don't, and added it to each one, thus getting 4 questions. I wanted to mention this to you because sometimes it takes a while for things to catch up. And whether to see 5 questions or 4 questions really doesn't matter. The important thing is that all 5 are considered when the thought force is collecting their information.